The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Got a question. Could you be called a person of prayer? Now, I asked myself that question this week. And, you know, I would answer yes. If that meant that I pray before meals, I would answer yes. If that meant that I pray with my kids before they go to bed, if it meant that I pray here on Sunday mornings as the pastor, or I pray on Monday mornings when the prayer group gets together, and I pray throughout the week, I would be yes. But you know, if I'm really honest with myself, if I really want to answer that question truthfully, If the question actually means that I take all of my worries and I cast them on God, the answer would be no. I'm not a person of prayer. If it means that I never stop praying, that I'm praying without ceasing, and that I'm pouring my heart out to God, if that's what it means to be a person of prayer, my answer is no. I'm not a person of prayer. It means that when I pray, I say, my God and my Father, not your will, not my will, but your will be done. Your will needs to be done in my life. If that's what it means, then no, I'm not a person of prayer. And I'm being honest with you about this because I think it's important that you and I, as we are believers in Christ and as we begin this series on prayer, that we need to look at ourselves and we need to evaluate ourselves and say, am I a person of prayer? Do I really want to pray? Our prayers should be like that. Our prayers should be prayers when we pour ourselves out to God. Our prayers should be prayers where we are saying, God, not what I want to happen, but what you want. We all know we should pray, but many times we don't. F.B. Meyer wrote a book called The Secret of Guidance, and this is what he says. He says, the great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer. It's unasked prayer. See, prayer for the most part is this untapped resource that we have. It's kind of like having a tool belt. And you have that tool that's in that tool belt. You know, there's that special pocket. You know, you guys know. Us guys know. There's a special pocket for it. And you get it and you put it in there. Oh, you love that tool. You talk about that tool to everybody you want, you know. And you look at it, you're like, oh yeah, it's right there, fits right there. But you never use it. You never take it out and use it. And prayer can become that. See, in the church today, we talk about prayer all the time. We talk about prayer. It is probably the most talked about subject and the least exercised thing we do. We talk about it all the time, but we don't do it. You know, someone comes up to you and you're talking to them and say, how you doing? Oh man, I had a rough week this week and man, you know, the dog ran away and, you know, I wish the kids had run away, but the dog ran away. No, that's not true. Dog ran away. The kids had trouble in school. You know, my wife and I got in a fight and we're like, oh man, brother, I'll be praying for you. Do we? Do we walk away and actually pray for them? You know, what we need to be doing is when someone comes and says, yeah, I need some prayer. You pray for me this week. We say, hey, listen, let's do it right here, right now. And we pray right there, right now. That's what being a person of prayer is like. It's the greatest gift God has given us outside of our salvation. I would say prayer is one of the greatest gifts given us. And yet, many of us don't use it. I'll be honest with you. I'm your pastor, and I don't use it as much as I should. I'll pray, and I'm good. I can say I'm good at prayer. I mean, I don't stumble over my words. I have plenty of things to say. I'm a pastor, no duh. But when I pray, I feel comfortable praying. But it's not always the first thing I think of. So for me, for these next 7 weeks, and we're going to talk, I'll talk a little bit about what we're planning for these next 7 weeks. For me, my prayer for me is that I become more of a person of prayer, that is the first thing I think of. When I get up in the morning, it's the first thing I think of. I need to pray. I need to go and spend a lot of time with God. But here's what I want to do, since we're going to be talking about prayer, and I'm going to apologize ahead of time because we're going to go way over today. Because I have a lot to talk about, and for some reason today I've been, I was going to say 15 minutes late, but I'm not going to say that. I've been about 15 to 20 minutes late all day today. Got here early and then everything just fell apart. So I apologize. We are going to go over a little bit today, but that's all right. It's important that we talk about this stuff. So, but first I want to pray. Okay. And what I want you to do is I want you to pray with me. Now, you don't have to pray out loud. I want you to pray quietly with me. And I'm going to pray quietly too until about the end of the time I'm going to pray. And then we'll talk about it. So let's pray. Amen. That was about 3 minutes of prayer. Was it difficult? Did you sit there and wonder, man, when's the pastor going to say something? 3 minutes. Sometimes it's hard to pray for 3 minutes. Did you struggle with finding things to say? Or as I do, sometimes I find myself circling back. It's okay. It's important that we pray. What we're going to do during this time, this series, is on June 10th, the beginning of June 10th, we're going to have 21 consecutive days of prayer and fasting. I'm going to challenge you, and I've challenged the leadership, and the elders especially, and we're going to talk to the rest of the leaders on Saturday. I'm going to challenge you to start a time of daily devotion, if you're not doing it already. And we're going to provide a book. We're going to ask you to pay a little bit for it, but it's a book on 21 dangerous prayers. Prayers that ask God to do things that only God can do for this church and for you. So I'm going to ask you to do that and to pray daily. And we're also going to ask you to fast. And we're like, ooh, but we'll talk about it. We're going to take some time throughout the next couple of weeks and talk about it before it starts. And we got some great resources for you for that too. But I want us to fast, at least, you know, everybody who can, who physically and because of medical reasons medically can do this. I want you to fast one meal a day. Give up one meal a day for God. And during that time, substitute your eating with searching Him. Searching for Him and drawing closer to Him. So we'll talk about that more as we go along, but the whole point is, I think that as we do this, as we spend this time in prayer and fasting, and as we learn and we really concentrate on our prayer, I think what we're going to find is God's going to do things that more than we could ever imagine, and more than we would ever ask for. And I know that because He promised it. So we'll talk more about that as time goes on. But today I just want to kind of talk about some things about prayer and about real prayer. Real power is what this is called, and how prayer makes a difference. First of all, I want to say this, that prayer is the key to seeing God working powerfully in our lives. See, prayer is that thing that kind of pushes things along so that God will work in your life. And the same thing happens for the church. So if that's the case, if the reason why God works more powerfully in our lives is because we pray, and more powerfully in the church because we pray, if you do not see God working in your life, and if you don't see God working in the church and the power of God in your life and in the church, we need to look at our prayer. Because that is the reason why it's not happening. It's because we are not praying. And if you don't believe me, go to Scripture. Paul tells the church of Corinth, you don't have because you don't ask. And when you ask for the wrong reasons. These things are happening to you because you're not praying. These things don't happen because you don't pray. So we're going to ask God to do amazing things. We're going to spend some time with Paul. We're going to look at his prayer in Ephesians 3. We're going to focus on the importance of prayer. So my prayer is that as we look at prayer each Sunday, and as we take this little extra time, that you'll see God move. That's what I want. I don't know about you, but I have been praying for God to move in an amazing way in my life and in this church. I have this feeling of apprehension. I have this feeling that something is going to happen. I don't know what it is. He hasn't told me what it is, but I have this feeling. I've talked to some other people here, and they have the same feeling. He's going to do something. It's either going to be in this church or it's going to be in the world. And I don't know what it is yet, but I want to be ready. And the only way we can get ready is if we pray. So today apparently is a day of questions, because I have a bunch of questions in here. Because these are the questions I've been asking myself. Do you enjoy prayer? I mean, do you get up in the morning and are you excited? Because, oh, yes, I get to pray today. I get to sit down and I can spend some time with my Lord. Do you enjoy it? Or do you do it because, oh, it's something I got. It's in my schedule. You know, I got it. It's in my calendar. You know, I got to pray. Do you look back over the week and realize, man, I haven't been praying as much as I should? Or you just look back over your week and say, I didn't get to it, but that's okay. God understands. We're good. Do you enjoy praying? Because if that's you, if you don't get up and if you don't want to pray and long to pray, or if you don't look at your week and say, man, I should have prayed more this week, then you don't enjoy praying. That's sad. And believe me, I've had moments I don't enjoy praying. I have too many things to do today. I don't have time to pray. But understand that we make time for those things we enjoy. Why do you think people spend hours playing video games or checking their Facebook page or playing sports? Because they like to do it. They enjoy it. I guess I like to nap a lot. No, I don't like lemon. There are people who like to eat. We eat a lot. Whatever it is we like to do, if we enjoy it, we make time for it. So that tells me that if I'm not making time for prayer, I don't enjoy it. And that is hard to come to. It's hard to come to that realization, because I do enjoy praying, but there's something maybe that I don't enjoy about it that I've got to find out. So this is funny. I need to pray for God to help me to pray. I do. You must enjoy it. If you want your prayer life to be robust and strong, you need to enjoy prayer. I enjoy talking with my wife. I enjoy getting up in the morning and the kids saying, good morning, Daddy, and sitting and talking to them. I enjoy the story time at night and praying with them. I enjoy those things, so I make time for it. I have an opportunity here to sit with my Father, who created me and loves me and died for me. I should enjoy that too. Another question. Do you have confidence in your prayers? I had to ask myself, am I confident that when I ask something of God, or when I'm praying to God, that He actually hears me? Do you believe that your prayers make a difference? If you don't, then you haven't truly prayed. See, if we approach God and we say, okay, God, well, you know, I go to the Lord, I love you and you're awesome but you know, I'd like for you to do this for me. I'd like for you to help me pray more, but I know you're not going to do it. Hello? You did not just pray. We need to have confidence. In James 1:6, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. See, if we approach God and we don't have confidence that He's going to hear us and that He's going to answer us, we're like a wave that's been thrown back and forth. We haven't prayed. We've talked. We need to have confidence. When we pray, when we ask God to move, we have to ask in faith that He is going to answer it. We must be confident and not doubt. See, when my kids come to me for help, when they come to me and say, hey, Daddy, can you help me with this? They come knowing that I can do it, which is kind of scary, because sometimes they come to me with things I'm not sure how to do. So I quickly go to Google. How do I do that? But see, they come to me knowing Daddy can do it. There's nothing my Daddy can't do. Every child says that about their father at some time in their life. There's nothing my dad can't do. And so they bring those things to me. They're not doubters. So when I go to God, who, I don't know about you, but I think he can do everything. Do I doubt? Or am I confident? Lord, I know you can do this. And I know you're going to do whatever you're going to do. And that's going to be what's best for me. Thank you for taking care of this. That's confidence. We need to have that confidence in God. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says that we should come with confidence and joy in prayer, because Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and Paul is in prison. He's having a rough time. And yet here he is in this church. He's writing to this church that's worried about him. Paul, we're so concerned about you. They've sent him letters saying, hey, we're concerned. You know, what's going on with you? We want to see you, but you know, we know you're in prison. And at the same time, that church is being persecuted. So chapter 1, he talks about our salvation and how long before God even created us in our mother's womb, he knew us. Long before you were born, God knew you. He loved you so much, and he planned for your life and your salvation before the foundations of the world. Think about that. That's how much he loves us. Wouldn't you want to hang around with somebody like that, who loves you that much? So the first chapter, he talks about that. He plans for our salvation. He plans to adopt us as his child. Then he talks about redemption and how through the blood of Christ we have been redeemed, and how God has made known this mystery of his will. And in the middle of all this deep theology, he's talking all these deep things in Ephesians. He says, when we understand the awesomeness of God and who he is and how much he loves us, it will prompt us to pray. So Paul is talking about all these things. He's like, I got to pray. I mean, have you ever had that happen? You're thinking about God, and it's like, oh man, I gotta talk to him. I gotta talk to him. Sometimes I think about, you know, if I haven't contacted my mom and dad in a while, or my brother especially too, and we're sitting there and we're thinking, and I'm thinking about him and things we've done, and I'm like, man, I gotta call him. I gotta talk to him. I need to communicate with him. I need to hear their voice. Same thing with God. He's your father. We need to do that. So if you're not praying, you cannot understand the doctrine of God. I mean, you could have all this head knowledge about the Bible. I don't. You could know where every verse is. You could name all the books of the Bible. You could explain all this stuff in the Bible. You could have it all up here. But if you don't have it here, it's useless knowledge. We need to have the faith of the Bible, not just in our head, but in our hearts. We need to have the faith of God, not just in our head, but in our hearts. Because see, when you take all the things about the Bible, all the doctrines of the Bible, and you put them in the heart, it's going to make you want to pray. It's going to make you want to be close to God. And that's what prayer does. It draws us close to God. See, we've been kind of spoiled in our world today, because what do we have? We have a cell phone, or we have a telephone where I can call anybody, anywhere, just about, as long as I have a phone. I can call my brother out in Colorado, and the connection is just about as good. And if we both have an iPad, guess what we can do? We can FaceTime. It's almost like being there. What was Ma Bell's old tagline? Reach out and what? Touch someone. You never touched anybody. You called them on the phone. But you know what? We're spoiled by that, because now we think, oh, just call them. But there's a difference when you are with them in their presence. You get to know them better. So when we pray, we're in the presence of God and we get to know him better. And if I understand doctrine, it makes me want to pray. It makes me want to praise God in my prayers. In chapter 1, verse 15, he says, and this is the reason that I pray. What reason is he talking about? Because of their faith. It was because of the faith of the church at Ephesus, because Paul sees their faith. He sees how much they love him, how much they love each other, what they are doing because of their faith in God. He says, that makes me want to pray. He didn't say, I looked at my calendar, figured out it was time for me to pray today, and that's what made me want to pray. No, he wanted to pray because he saw what they were doing, because of their faith in Jesus and love of the church. Then in chapter 2 of Ephesians, Paul talks about the fact that we are dead in our trespasses and how we are saved by grace through faith. And then finally in chapter 3, Paul talks about the mystery of the gospel being revealed and how Jesus has now taken the Jews and the Gentiles, and we are now one. We're all Jewish now. We are all part of God's family. We have been adopted and we've been grafted in so many ways they say it. But we are. We're part of the family of God now because of that. And he talks about boldness that we can have through Christ and the confidence that we have in him through our faith in him. And as Paul, he's digging into this doctrine. It just makes him burst out in praise and in prayer. I would argue, and I would suggest to you that if you want your prayer life to be bold, if you want your prayer life to be strong, if you want your prayer life to be something that is amazing and changes your life, that you have got to get into God's Word. You have got to understand doctrine. You have got to understand what God is doing. You have got to understand the whole story. And I'm not saying you have to memorize it. I'm not saying you have to read all of Leviticus and be able to quote it back. What I am saying is you've got to know God. And you know God by knowing His Word. And you've got to understand the doctrine of God and the doctrine of the church. And you've got to dig deep into that, and you've got to understand it. You understand that, it'll increase your prayer life because it will change you. Because you'll look at that doctrine and you'll want to praise God and pray to Him. And that will draw you closer to Him. See, today, the problem with today is everything is surface. Everything's a felt need. Well, I just don't feel like that. Man, I just don't feel like praying today. It's not about how you feel, Cupcake. It was funny, just as a side note, you guys all know Josh Jones, who preached for me. He was at the conference. He actually says God called him a snowflake. I thought that was awesome. He really meant a real snowflake, but it's a great story. So we're teasing Josh about him being a snowflake now. God, He wants you to be deep. He wants you to understand these things. But today, everything is felt need. I don't feel like it. I'm not getting what I want out of it. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Jesus. I mean, we can go to YouTube, and you know, I can go to YouTube and I can just about learn how to do anything. I'm getting ready to build a deck for my garden. I have beds and wooden beds. I'm going to put them on there. I'm going to put a greenhouse over them. So what did I do? I went to YouTube and I learned how to build a deck just to make sure I get everything right. I mean, I've built one before, but how to make sure. I can do it now. Now, don't ask me why everything has to be 18 inches off center, if you guys know what that means. I have to have things every so many 18 inches for the cross beams. I don't know why, but I know I got to do it. And that's the way it is today. Our lives are so full of knowledge that we have, but it really doesn't mean anything. We don't understand why. But when you study doctrine, when you get into the deep things of God, you start to understand why. The guys are reading a book on Saturday morning. We're starting to understand why. Right, Matt? We're starting to understand why. Seth, Jeff, Brian, we're understanding why the Bible says what it says. It makes sense. But you got to get deep. And when we do that, it makes us want to pray. It drives us to pray. The more you know about God, the more you want to pray. So let's look at, I'm finally going to get to looking at Paul. It's 11:30. Let's look at Paul's writings in chapter 3 of Ephesians. This is what he says. He says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. In whom? In Jesus, we have boldness, access, and confidence through our faith. It is our faith in Christ that gives us boldness, access, and confidence. When we accept Jesus as our Savior and he forgives us of our sins, we are in Christ. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are no longer condemned for our sins. We are in Christ. And because of that, we can approach him. We have access and we can approach him with boldness and confidence. Look at it again. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we, who is we? We are those who believe in Jesus Christ. This is not for the non-believer. This is not for those who are not fully devoted to Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ and we make him Lord of our lives, that is we. So turn to the person next to you and say, I am we. Do it. Thank you. We, that's us, in whom we have access to God in boldness. And confidence. But let's talk practical. Listen, if you're drowning and you cry out, Lord, save me. All right, we need to do that. That's okay. But that should not be the full extent of our prayer life. Our daily prayer life needs to be a practice of what we call recollection. It was what was done by the Puritans. And what Scripture tells us we should do, if you look at the prayers in Scripture, it's always about recollection. We are recalling who God is and what he has done. So there are many different ways to do this. I'll give you my way. This is always goes through my head when I pray, and it's what's called the ACTS acronym. The first one is A, for adore. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering and come before him and worship the Lord in holy array. What this means is I need to go to God. When I go to God, I praise him for who he is and what he has done. I give him adoration. Second one is confess. Psalm 32:5 says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. I sit there and I say, God, forgive me. Search my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. Forgive me for my sins that I have not brought to you, those that I have committed willingly, and those that I commit without even knowing it. The ones I commit by not doing what I'm supposed to do. And I ask him to forgive me. And then I do thanksgiving in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I thank him for what he has done, and I thank him for what he's going to do. And finally, supplication. See it? A-C-T-S. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Supplication. Now, some of you might be thinking, you know, we need to approach God in a certain way. We need to approach God. We don't do it half willy-nilly, and we need to approach him and give him the honor that's due him. Every place in Scripture we see people approaching God. When Moses approached God, what did he do? Took off his sandals and he bowed his head. He was in submission. We need to do that. Now you can say, oh, Jesus is my friend. We're buds, man. I don't have to do that. Yeah, you do. Because understand that when you pray, you are praying through Christ to God the Father. This is the whole fear of God thing. When we pray to God the Father. Because Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, right? So we're praying to God, the Father, through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He deserves respect. But even so, we can come with boldness. Two things are implied here with this Greek word for boldness. It means, first of all, we can speak our mind. I can tell God anything. He's not surprised. There's nothing that I'm going to say to him that's going to make him go, ooh, I didn't know that one. So we can speak boldly. And second is this whole idea that we can speak plainly. I do not need to add these and thous to my prayer. I didn't get up this morning and say, ah, my family, dost thou wishest me to maketh thee some bacon and eggs? Knoweth, we don'teth. Oh yeah. Yeseth we doeth. We don't need that. Prayers can be simple. It can be, God, I love you. Be with me today. Boom. Wow. How simple is that? And how powerful is that? Don't need to make it complicated. Make it simple. We don't need to impress God with our words. Now, granted, I pray a lot and I pray long. I do. But then I have a lot to say to God. But see, He loves for us to come to Him and recollect or remember what He has done. So we speak in boldness in God in prayer, and we do without doubt or apprehension. I'm going to skip over all this stuff. Okay, access. So we're talking about boldness, and we know we have boldness, and we also have access. So we can speak boldly and we can have access. Because in Ephesians 2:18 says, for through Him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. You and I are able to get to God because of Jesus Christ. We are able to pray to God because of Jesus Christ. You understand that in Judaism, the people did not have access to God. You had to go through the priest. Jesus tore the curtain when He died. That's done. Access to God is open to all. None of us. I do not have a red phone in my office that I can pick up and I get God immediately just because I'm a pastor. I do not need to pray at everything we do. I'm not the only one He listens to, thank goodness. We all have it, from the greatest to the least. My children have as much access to God as I do. In fact, I'll tell you, they probably are more bold than I am in their prayers. And more confident. Romans 5:2 says, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into His grace, in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What does this mean? It means because of our relationship with Christ, we have access to the Father. Let's talk about confidence. I want you to understand that Satan wants nothing more then when you go or thinking about prayer, for you to be filled with doubt. He has his little games he plays to make us doubt. God's not going to do that. He doesn't love you enough. You aren't good enough for Him. Lies. Truths. You know, I'm not good enough for Him, but Jesus is. And when I accepted Christ, He clothed me with Him. Because of Jesus, I have access to the Father. Satan says, no, you don't. Yeah, I do. He wants us nothing more than to be self-doubting. So we need to pray in confidence, knowing and secure in our belief and understanding God's character, His nature, and His motives. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. We need to believe that God has the ability, has the resources to answer our request. We must come in confidence. Now, I want to say this. It doesn't mean that because I'm confident, God will answer my prayer and give me what I want. No. God will give me what I need. Sometimes that's a good swift kick in the backside. Those are called trials. Sometimes I need those. Because many times what we want is not best for us, right? We know that. What our kids want is not always best for them. My kid comes in and says, I want a tank, Daddy. Ha! No. I want a slingshot. No. Can I have the BB gun? No. It's not good for them or the neighborhood cats. So I don't give my children everything they want, and God won't give you everything you want just because you're confident. But that doesn't mean you can't have confidence in God, and you need to be bold. I'm going to end with this. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we can come to Christ, come to God, boldly, talking plainly, telling Him exactly what's on our hearts. And we can do it with confidence, knowing that we have access to Him. Not only that, but knowing that He will hear us, which amazes me that He can hear us all praying at one time. I can barely listen to four people at one time. I can do it, but it hurts. He can hear all of us at one time. And He loves us all so much, He wants to answer all of our prayers according to His will. But we can come with boldness and confidence, knowing that He will hear us and that He will answer us. That is the confidence we have. We come before His throne. He gives us access to it. I want to tell you, prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference in your home. It makes a difference in your neighborhood. It makes a difference in the church. It makes a difference in our city, in our state, in our country, in our world. It makes a difference because we have access to the throne room of God, where we can come with boldness and confidence and lay things at His feet, and He will answer us. And He will give us what we need and what is His will, which is good for us. That's prayer. And we should enjoy it. We should long for prayer. Don't, as we begin this series, don't just go through this and say, okay, great, yeah, thanks for the info. I want you to really seriously pray for God to help you in your prayer life. And you say, hey, I got a strong prayer. And I know that there are some of you who have an awesome prayer life. Great. Great. If that is you, then praise God. But I want to be honest with you. There are some things I do extremely well, but you know, I can always improve. I could always get a little bit better. And the great thing is I can help others get better. We're not going to sing. We're going to pray. Here's what I want to do. We're going to take a few minutes here, and I'm going to ask you to stand. It's not something I do normally, but I want to do this. I'm going to open the floor. Anybody who wants to pray out, please do. Let's have a time of praise and prayer and asking God to move in us. This during these 7 weeks, especially during the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we need to ask God to do more than we could ever imagine and more than we can ever ask for. So I'm going to ask that you pray. If you feel led to pray out loud, please do. If you don't feel led to pray out loud, pray quietly, pray silently. If that's your wish, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you feel like you want to share this prayer with your fellow believers, with the body of Christ, please do so. And when I feel it's time, I'll close us in prayer. Precious Father, You're amazing. You knew us long before the earth was even formed, and You planned out our salvation from the start. What a great God You are. Lord, I pray that we would, during this time, that we would refocus our hearts on You. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us. That we would be driven to our knees in prayer. And that's a tough thing for some of us, because I don't like being down on my knees, Lord. I don't want to be down on my knees, but I know that sometimes not just metaphorically, not just in my spirit, not just in my heart, Lord, but I need to bodily be on my knees in prayer. So I pray, Father, that You would drive us there. Give us a sense, Lord, that we need more of You. Help us, Father, to understand doctrine, to understand these things, to understand the deep things of God, which we know only comes by the Holy Spirit. Because He searches those deep things, and He teaches them to us. Give us a hunger and thirst for Your Word. Give us a hunger and thirst for mercy, for love, for patience and kindness. Help us, Father, to see that we need to come to You boldly and in confidence, laying our needs at Your feet, knowing that You're the good God that gives to His people. You don't give us a snake. You don't give us a stone. You give us your Son. You give us love. You give us care. You give us so much. We are such a blessed people. Help us, Father, to be always turning to you. Father, I pray that this is the beginning of a new church. Lord, when I first came, I heard people say that we were a praying church, and I knew it wasn't true. That's not such a bad thing. It's just that's not who we were. But Lord, I want that to be said of us. I want it to be said of me that I am a praying person. I want it to be said of this church that we are praying church. I want it to be said of these people that these people are praying people. That they pray with boldness and confidence, knowing that God's going to do amazing things in their lives and amazing things in the life of this church. But Lord, we don't do it just because we try harder. We do it because it's the Holy Spirit pouring out onto us. So that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for you to do it because we can't. And I know I have full confidence you are going to do more than we would ever imagine and more than we would ask for. And we praise you for that. Be with us, Father, as we go. May your name be praised. May your praise always be on our lips. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.